Hey, you want that to go?
And we've got your takeouts on stories we're following this week. Clearly, the healthcare bill is one of those stories, and we're following it because the story of healthcare is not over. Although the president signed the legislation yesterday, the main part of the legislation, the fight continues. We turn now to the Takeaways Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. And Todd, the debate over healthcare not done, not just with the Republicans' lawsuits and efforts to repeal it, but also with this reconciliation bill going through the Senate.
No, that's right. That's right, Celeste. The reconciliation bill is on the Senate floor right now and for the balance of the week. And what reconciliation really is a budgetary procedure. But what's in this reconciliation package is pretty important. We've talked about it last week, and I just want to reiterate. This reconciliation bill corrects healthcare reform around the margins, but makes a big difference for people's pocketbooks. If this thing passes, and it should by the end of the week or over the weekend, it has more money for subsidies so that middle class people can afford insurance. It closes over a 10-year period the Medicare prescription drug gap, the so-called donut hole, and sends a $250 check to any senior citizen who falls into that donut hole as early as next year. And it has a lot of money for student loans, increasing federal Pell Grants, and cutting most private banks out of the student loan business. So there's some real important stuff that's in here. It also has a tax increase if you make over $250,000 a year.
Okay, so after the signing ceremony, the Republicans very, very quickly came out. They held a strategy meeting, and they decided to do everything that they could, both to delay that reconciliation you're talking about, but to try and repeal, I guess, the main legislation, the law that President Obama signed. Here's Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky with a new slogan.
I can tell you with regard to the campaign that will continue with the American people, I think the slogan will be repeal and replace, repeal and replace.
How do you see them actually being able to repeal the law that was just signed?
Well, right now they can't, but they're certainly taking the steps to make some political points. On this reconciliation bill, Celeste, they get 20 hours of debate and then unlimited amendments, and they're going to vote on those amendments in a big flourish. Actually, we call it Votorama. It sounds like a carnival ride, and I guess if you're into legislation, it kind of is. But during Votorama, they will
You're incurable.
I know. It's the tilt-a-whirl of Senate
procedure. It's a sickness.
It's a Votorama.
Well, there will be vote after vote after vote, and some of these will be on substance, and a lot of them will be to score political points. And repeal and replace right now is a political meme, and I think that's why Mitch McConnell repeated it when he said it, because they're going to be repeating it a lot. There are going to be amendments, you know, to lower taxes, to get rid of the individual mandate. That's substance. There will also be amendments. You know, the first amendment that was introduced yesterday, Celeste, was to ensure that no erectile dysfunction drugs are available to sex offenders under this bill.
Sex offenders can't get Viagra.
It's a purely political swipe. And if you vote against it, you can imagine the 30-second ad they'll come up with on that one. And there are a lot of those, but there's also some substance. Democrats see this Votorama that's coming up as Republicans' opportunity to score some political points and get some fodder for campaigns. You know, you voted for a tax increase and all these things.
We'll see how it goes, Todd. That's going to be going on all week. Todd Zwillick is the Takeaways Washington correspondent.
So as healthcare reform moves on, it reveals an enormous number of issues that really people out there need to be watching. And one of them is the nomination of Goodwin Liu, professor of law at University of California, Berkeley, to a position on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. It's an interesting nomination, and it's likely to have political ramifications. Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor and senior legal correspondent for Slate.com, joins us now from her home in Virginia. Good morning, Dahlia.
Hey there, John.
So Goodwin Liu is described as a constitutional law expert, a race-obsessed liberal, a progressive, someone who really understands the malleability of the Constitution, and someone who's also testified against the nomination of Justice Alito. It's an interesting package. Why is this important?
It's important for a couple of reasons. I think liberal court watchers have been a little dismayed with Obama's picks thus far for both the Supreme Court and the courts of appeals and the federal bench. They've all been really good, solid, middle-of-the-road, moderate judges. Lots of race, lots of gender represented, but just never a really full-throated, articulated view of the Constitution that might respond to, say, Clarence Thomas or Antonin Scalia's full-throated conservative view. Well, enter Goodwin Liu. He's the guy. He's thought very deeply. He's got a distinguished academic record, and he's I think it's fair to say, as really passionate about a progressive view of the Constitution as some of the folks sitting on the current Supreme Court, that makes him extremely interesting. As you say, it makes him quite vulnerable.
He explicitly endorses a doctrine whereby the courts have as a duty to re-explain the original framers' values of the Constitution for each generation. Is that radical?
Well, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than that because it's bound up in a larger doctrine of what he calls constitutional fidelity. So what he wants to say, I think, is that we have to be very faithful to the original view of the Constitution. We have to be certainly faithful to the text and words of the Constitution. But yes, the Constitution has to evolve with each generation, with new technology, with new legal realities. And so we need to both be plugged into the original doctrine and the original intent. But we can't be so obsessed with it that we forget that, for instance, women didn't have the vote when the Constitution was enacted. So he's trying to do both.
Well, before we go, if he makes it to the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, does that increase his chances if he were to be nominated for a Supreme Court justice position, possibly replacing John Paul Stevens if he retires?
Well, I think if he makes it to the Ninth Circuit, he would percolate there for several years. He's only 39. And I think Stevens is going to retire very, very soon, either this year or next. But I do think the fear of him is that he's being groomed because he's so young for a position somewhere down the line on the Supreme Court.
Well, at 39, he could be there for two generations, really. Mm-hmm. Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor and senior legal correspondent for Slate.com, talking about Goodwin Liu, professor of law at University of California, Berkeley, nominated for the Ninth Circuit. International aid is poured into Haiti, but Haitians are healing themselves. We'll hear some stories in just a moment.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.